Knows me, knows I have to joke around, so I was sitting there very nervous a few minutes ago, and then I got Tyler to get up and do the offering, and I think he was more nervous than I was doing the offering. Then I've got Junior freaked out, and he's going to have to yell at you. I'm talking to you. You're going to have to come here on stage with me. So, but I have to joke around a little bit, and I told Danielle was over there, and David released the children, and half the congregation left. And I said, well, it's probably half kids going out and half the adults knowing I'm preaching, they're going out the back door. So, but anyway, today I kind of stand up here and I'm kind of amazed and in awe and kind of more in love with God today than ever, because I can see what He's done in my life over the past few years and taken me from where I was to here today. So it's kind of crazy, and I never ask God why about anything, but I kind of ask Him, why are you putting me up here? And it goes by all the way back to 7 years ago when I got on my hands and knees and said, okay, God, change me. Reset my life, reset me, reset my mind. I want to be like You. Just help me in everything I do, and I will do whatever You say. And anybody that knows me over the past few years, anytime God says to do something, I usually don't say no and I do it, even if I'm scared teetotally to death to do this. But in youth, on Monday nights, I'm comfortable with the kids. And I always ask them questions and I always interact with them. And whenever I was talking to Josh the other night, and I knew about 3 months ago that God had this on my heart. I shared with the guys earlier in the pastor's meeting. I said, I know God had this on my heart, so I needed to speak this. And I knew that Josh wasn't going to be here, so I thought Dennis would be here. When he told me he wasn't going to be, I kind of called Josh, and Josh knows me well enough that usually if anybody's had a conversation with Josh, it's not a minute long. It's usually about 30 minutes long. So I called him Friday night, and I said, hey, Dennis is sick, and he went, next thing out of his mouth, he said, okay, I'm confident in you and David, you can do it, I'll talk to you later. I hung up, and I went, you didn't even give me a chance to defend myself here, I want somebody to help me here, but God's got me here. And if you notice, I've wrote down, I've got my notepad up here, so if I'm looking down, I'm also looking at my notes, but I'm also, an event happened to me last, and most of you know, last February, that I think I was even more nervous then than I am now, and that was asking Danielle to marry me. So I have my little picture here of our engagement. So if I keep looking at this picture, then I know I was more nervous then than I am now. So that's kind of just, that's why I'm looking down also. So, but that's just me in general. I like to joke around and I like to do this. And I love doing what God asked me to do. So today, we're going, and I hope the youth doesn't start to roll your eyes, because they've probably heard me talk about this more in the last year than anything, because God put it on my heart a year ago to teach them. And it's in Ephesians 6, and it's the whole armor of God. And as Christians, we are every day, we are called when we become Christians to serve God, to be His disciple. And we cannot go out into this world unarmed. I mean, you cannot go, a soldier would not go into war with shorts and a t-shirt on. He has his battle. He has the gun. He has his protection. He has everything like that. And Ephesians 6, starting at verse 10, is all about the armor of God. So here at Ephesians 6, verse 10, a final word. Be strong in the Lord and His mighty powers. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of unseen worlds, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in this time of evil. That after the battle, you will be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from God, the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Like I said, for over a year, God has led me on this. And I kept asking, well, why this? And it was like He needed me to prepare the youth, prepare myself, protect, lead, and teach on this. The world we live in today is full of sin, evil, and temptations. You can't turn anywhere. You can't turn the radio on. You can't turn the TV on without something that's bombarding us as Christians. We face a spiritual warfare every day. As I tell the youth every Monday night almost, I said, whenever you get up in the mornings, Monday morning, every morning that you get up, prepare yourself. If you don't prepare yourself, you're going to be open. Open to the enemy's strategy and everything. If you're not prepared, then Satan, you're just open and Satan is ready to attack you at any time. If at one point, and there's an old saying, if you give an inch, he'll take a mile. And I wrote this down. If you give Satan an inch, he'll take a mile. Give him a mile, he will take all of you. And before you know it, just one small thing, and just one small lie will turn into a bigger lie. One small drink will turn into more drinks. One small looking at something you're not supposed to look at on the internet will turn into a porn addiction. Anything that you do, one small sin can turn into a mountain for Satan. And that's whenever you look around after you start this, in a month, you're going, where did I go wrong? What did I do? And it's just because you gave in to that temptation. Every day at work, at school, in just every everyday life, you are faced with stuff that you don't need to face with. We, Nikki and I, myself, at youth, we always tell the kids, watch who you're friends with. I mean, you can have good friends, you can have bad friends. And if those friends lead you the wrong way, then you could be in trouble big time. We are in a war daily. Just like I said, a soldier would never go out into battle without weapons. Why would you want to go out in this world every day? In verse 10, it said that, a final word, be strong in the Lord and His mighty powers. To me, there's no greater power than the power of God. I mean, with God on my side, I can feel like I can conquer anything. And when I have that peace with Him in everyday life, I can go out and conquer. If I don't prepare myself every morning, every night, reading God's Word, then what do I have to help me with? I just have the world. And the world is not good. You need the protection of God to do this. Every storm I go through, everything, I know that with the trust of God and the faith of God that I have, that I can get through that storm. Do I like going through those storms? No, I definitely don't. Someone told me once before that being a Christian is not fun. Well, to me, being a Christian is very fun. But he said, but you're still going to have problems. And I said, yeah, but I would rather face my problems with my God than without my God. And if I cannot face the problems, if every time I face a problem, for 40 years, every time I faced a problem without God, I screwed up. And I hated it. And it was like I was digging myself out of a hole every time I would do something. I would do this wrong, and it would multiply to this. Then it would multiply to this. With God, and the problem comes up, and this storm arises, I say, God, You got this. I raise my hands. I say, God, I need Your help in everything I do. In verse 11 and 12, it says, put on all God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. The devil attacks, Satan attacks when we least expect it. Whenever you've got your, it always seems to me, and I will use my and Danielle's situation here, as we went to a concert, a Big Daddy Weave concert, and we left, and you could feel the Spirit of God all over that place. And I made the mistake of, when we left, I feel like we could conquer anything. Well, Satan used that against me that next week. It seemed like I was fighting something every single solitary day. So I even get to the point now that I don't even say that. And I think you spoke it out of your mouth and, oh, you don't need to say that. Because as soon as I said it, that next week was bad. So, but it says, for we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authority of an unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits. We cannot depend on others to stand up for you. Teenagers, you can't depend on your mom and dad to stand up for you. Husbands, you can't depend on your wife to stand up for you, or vice versa. You have to be firm in your belief with God that you can fight anything that you want. Stand firm for what you believe in God's Word. God's Word is the truth. That's all they are. Seek advice from godly people. If you're going through a problem, anything that you're going to face in life, look for godly people. I know I do. I have those people. Right before we went into this service tonight, I grabbed Danielle, I had Howard, I had James, and I had Randy. And I said, guys, I need you to pray. I need you to grab around. I need you to pray for me to lead this service to whatever I need to do. And things that I go through in life, I seek godly people. I do not seek the person that I know is not godly. People, as I tell the teens, watch out. People will lead you down the wrong way. And Satan puts those people in your life sometimes. I firmly believe that. At least every month, when I feel that Satan's attacking me, I will stop whatever I'm doing and say, Satan, out of my life. Out of my house, out of my body, out of my mind, out of everything. I rebuke you, get out of here. I'm tired of you. You cannot win against me because I've got God on my side. There is no way. We go on into verse 13 and 14. It says, Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your grounds, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. The belt of truth in John, and I don't have this verse taught, in John 14:16, Jesus defines himself as three things: the way, the truth, and the life. In John 17:17, it says, your word is the truth. Anything you put that belt of truth on, this book right here is all true. You have that to fight against anything in this world that you ever come up with. Any situation, everything that you do in life, these answers are right here. I never could understand that because my parents would say, well, just look at this, just find it here. My grandmother was very big at, Steve, you can find all your answers in the Bible. And I would turn and turn and turn, never could. And one reason I couldn't, because I was not in God's will. At that point in my life, I was just seeking more about me, instead of God. And that's where you need to be in your life, that you put me aside and you put God first. If when you put God first in the center of your life, that peace comes over. And that's where verse 15 comes in, the shoes of peace. If you're standing firm in God, and Nikki was talking about, she had no idea what I was doing this morning, but she was talking about peace in Sunday school class this morning. The peace surrounds you of God's will. When you're in God's will, peace, it is so comforting to me that at night I can lay down, I can go to sleep, and I know that I didn't try not to hurt anybody. I tried not to do not do anything wrong. But I did what God asked me to do. When I didn't do what God asked me to do, and everybody has been here, I think, before, that you are always fighting against someone. You're fighting against Satan. And when you're not in God's peace, you can't sleep at night. You're always wondering, well, I need to cover up this lie. I need to cover up what I did wrong here. Everything like that. And doing the right thing, again, with the peace of God on you, you can conquer anything. Do anything you need to do. Verse 16, it is a shield of faith. No matter what is thrown at me, No matter what, I have the truth, everything, faith that everything is going to be about. Faith, it says in the Bible, if I have faith of a small mustard seed, that I can move a mountain. Faith has got me through life more than anything ever. Faith has got me through, and people know my testimony, of raising four kids on my own. Of going through life feeling like that I was alone, but every morning that I woke up, and if nobody I knew that loved me, I know that God loved me. The main thing that I go through, and I tell the teenagers all the time, because I would never want to go back to be a teenager right now. There's just no way I would want to be that. Because there's so much hurt, and there's so much stuff that goes on in the school system, that parents, when I know the teenagers get on your nerves, but love them. Give them a hug and tell them, hey, I'm proud of you. Hey, I love you. And because some of the texts I get is just broken, this brokenness. They are so broken because when I was in school, you left school at school. Well, now they can't leave school at school. You got Facebook, you got Instagram, you got everything. And they have to deal with that 24 hours a day. And they keep saying, nobody loves me. And I say, yes. The person who created you loved you. Loves you more than anything else. He created you for a reason. No, Steve, I don't have a purpose in life. Yes, you do. Every day that you wake up, I tell them, and every day that you all wake up, God has put you on this earth for a purpose. For to do something that day. Put someone in your life, someone to help, or someone to help you. Faith, sometimes I kind of get in trouble with my faith. I don't mean that in a wrong way, but I am so used to God, when I have a story of my life, taking care of me, that it's kind of like I've got the laid back attitude. Okay, everything's cool. Everything's fine. And Danielle or my kids will look at me like, really? This is going on. This is really going on. Why aren't you worried? Well, God's got it. We are coming up on 40 days until we get married. And I'm kind of stressing out about it. But every time I do, I say, hey, God's got this. And throughout this whole journey of a year, as things start getting closer and closer and closer, things are working out. And I'm kind of saying, see, we didn't need to worry. But it's that faith that gets you through today. And it goes on, when you're living in peace of God, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. How many in here are warriors about what's going to happen tomorrow? Tyler, raise your hand. All right. But some people, it always says in the Bible, and I don't know exactly where it does, but God takes care of the birds. The birds, you don't see running around worried what they're going to eat. It always takes care of. Why wouldn't He take care of you more than He would take care of birds? And how many know the person that they're always worried, they're always bringing people down, they're always, everything is worried about? Well, I have a friend at work that he's like that. That every time I see him, I kind of avoid him because I just don't want to hear about it. I mean, I know God's put me in His life to do this, to talk to Him daily, but I just really don't want to deal with Him because He brings people down. And I was thinking about this, and some people, I know, as when I was growing up, I didn't worry about the revelations of the end times, because people would keep saying, the end times are near, the end times are near, the end times are near. Well, the more and more I get into God's Word, and I can see where Brother Dick's coming from, the end times are closer. And we do need to prepare. And I think that is one reason why God has put this so on my heart about Ephesians, that we do need to prepare. And as growing up, I'd always hear about the days, and I know some people here have, that so-and-so day is the end of time. And who in here remembers Y2K? Everything, and so supposedly on that day, was going to go wrong. Everything, the computer world was going to shut down. God was coming back that day. Everything was here. And my grandmother, who was a very big influence in my life, the lady I would see, she would be reading the Bible in the morning, of the night. Very big influence on me. But when Y2K came around, 6 months before that, she was saying, "Steve, the end of time's coming. The end of time's coming." I went, "No, it will sometime, but it's not going to be on January 1st. I said, "Mama," I said, "I don't think God has a calendar January 1st, 2000, that the world is going to end." She said, "Well, it is." And I said, "Okay, well, if it is," I said, "on December 31st, why don't me and you just go party all day?" I said, "You take some of that money out of that bank account and we'll just do it." So, I didn't think anything else about it until December 31st. And she's calling me at 9 o'clock and she went, "Steve, I'm ready." I went, "Okay, what are you ready for, my mom?" She says, "Well, you told me we need to go party and have fun this day." And I went, "Okay." I said, "What do you want to do today?" And she's like 80-something years old. And I'm thinking, well, she might want to go take a nap or something like that. But sorry, I had to throw that in there. Sorry. But she gets up there and she calls me and she says, coming out of my house. She says, "Get my grandkids." And she was all about my grandkids. She says, "Get my grandkids ready. We are going out." So she takes us out to breakfast that morning. And she was, in her mind, she was totally convinced the world was going to end at midnight that night. And she, that day we went through, I said, "Where do you want to go?" And she said, "Well, my favorite place I haven't been." So I took her to the Smokies, up to the top of the Smokies. We went around there, come back, and I said, "Okay, Mama, what do you want to do now?" She said, "I just want to spend my last day." And she was, like I said, totally convinced, my last day. "I want to spend my last day with my grandkids." I went, "Okay." So we went back to her house, and probably about, she was one of these that got up at 4:30 and in bed by 9 o'clock. So about 9:30, she's sitting over on the couch and she's dozing off. And I said, "Mama, you need to go to bed." She says, "I can't." She says, "I got to be here when God comes back." I said, "I promise you that if God comes back tonight, He will wake you up and you will be fine." So she goes to bed, and the next morning, smart elk as I am and practical joker I am, I call her at 9 o'clock, about 9 o'clock, and I say, "Mama." She went, "Yes, Steve." I went, "Why does heaven look like my living room?" She says, "I don't want to hear it." She says, "I have never taken a switch to you, but I will take a switch to you if you keep on doing this." So I just had to share that story about people that worries, because she was that worrier. So on the final verse of this, on verse 18, it says, "Pray in the Spirit at all times on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere." That's one thing I am affirmed. That's one thing I am consistent at, I will say, in this Christian world, is prayer. I will pray more than anybody. I pray all the time. Anybody can pray at all times. You can be praying right here saying, "Please God, just let Steve shut up where I can go eat." But I mean, you could do all this anytime. And it doesn't have to be the long prayer of anything. It just says, sometimes I'll just be going down the road and go, "God, thank you. Just thank you for putting me in this moment. Thank you for doing everything that you've done for me." And one thing that I say is, you love to talk to the people that love you. God created you. Why not talk to Him all the time? I tell the youth, He loves you so much, He wants to hear from you. He doesn't want you to be quiet. He knows what you're going through. And the only thing you've got to do is just ask Him. Just say, "God, show me what I need to do. Help me in what I need to do." I guess what I'm trying to say, each of us as a Christian, you're called. You're called to do something in this life. Today, you are here for a reason. Everywhere you go today, to lunch, for supper, anything that you do, you're called. God knows what you're going through. God knows what you need to do. Listen to what God says. I usually don't watch TV and I don't listen to TV, but when I do, it kind of gets me sad that Christians are being attacked like Christians are being attacked. And it seems like Christians don't stand up. That they're scared to do what is really right. And that kind of irritates me that God, that Jesus died on a cross for me and for you, and for everyone, and He stood up and He took all of our sins, why can't we stand up and fight for Him? Why can't that when someone says, this is wrong, this is that, I'm not harping on gay marriage or anything like that, but why can't we stand up and say, this is wrong? Why can't, when someone is doing a sin, someone is doing a friend that you see that is going down the wrong path, why can't you just grab them and go, dude, it's wrong. Stop. I love you. You see family members, you see families that are being broken up daily. And Satan loves to get into families and to break them up. As a Christian brothers and sisters that we love, we should be bold enough to stand up and say, stop what you're doing. Let me help you. I mean, we have marriage counseling here at the church. Get in the marriage class. God stands up for us every single minute of every single day. Why can't we stand up for Him? He's calling you all, each and every one of us, to be part of His army to do something for Him. If He can use me to get up on this stage and to do this on a Monday night, I know there is more talent in this church than any church I've ever been into. And more people willing to do what God asked them to do. Stand up and do it. I have something I've shared with the youth, and I only when I wrote this, and I know this is kind of a short lesson, but I just feel like that this is what God had me to say. When I stand up here, I'm not a Josh that can stand up here for 45 minutes, 50 minutes, talk. But I just asked God, I said, God, just tell me what I need to say today, what I need to do, what I need to prepare people for in life. And as I became a Christian 7 years ago, I started getting woken up by God. And I didn't know what to do about that. And He was giving me things to say, and giving me things. You need to do this. You need to write this down. And I went to Josh and I said, listen, man, I says, God's waking me up with lessons. And this is before I was even a youth pastor. He said, any time that God speaks to you, and this was life-changing for me, doesn't matter if you're at work, if you have a chance, if you're at home, if you're sound asleep and God wakes you up to tell you something, write it down. And I started doing that, and last year before we did the youth lock-in, and I did, that's when God started talking to me about the armor of God. And I did a lesson, that lock-in on here, on that night. And for 3 months before that, God had been speaking to me at night and giving me things to write down. And as I started writing them down, I realized, okay, this goes together with this, this goes together with this, and like this. And I wrote down this paper here that I'm going to share with you, and this is going to be in closing. But I challenged the youth last year, and they signed a contract. They signed it right here on stage, that they were ready to be part of God's army, that they were ready to stand up, that they were tired of being pushed around, that they were tired of being lonely, that they were tired of not feeling loved, that God loved them so much that they're ready to repay Him by serving Him. And I have this, and in closing again, I want to read this to you, and I'm going to ask David after I read this, if you wouldn't mind, to come up and close us in prayer. And this is something that God put on my heart and that I wanted to share with you. And so I'll just go ahead. Okay. The Lord Jesus Christ is my commanding officer. The Holy Bible is my code of conduct. Faith, prayer, and the Word are my weapons of warfare. I have been taught by the Holy Spirit, trained by experience, tried by adversity, and tested by fire. I'm a volunteer in this army, and I'm enlisted for eternity. I will either retire in this army at the rapture or die in this army. but I will not get out, sell out, be talked out, or pushed out. I am faithful, dependable. If God needs me, I'm there. I do not need to be pampered, petted, or pumped up. I'm a soldier. No one has to call me, remind me, write me, or visit me. I'm a soldier. I am not a wimp. I am not too young or old. I am in my place, saluting my king, obeying his orders, praising his name, and building his kingdom. When Jesus called me into his army, I had nothing. If I end up with nothing, I will still come out ahead. I will win. My God has and will continue to supply all my needs. I am more than a conqueror. I always triumph. I can do all things through Christ. Demons cannot defeat me. Sickness cannot stop me. Battles cannot beat me. Money cannot buy me. Governments cannot silence me, and hell cannot handle me. I am a soldier. Even death cannot destroy me, for when my commander calls me from this battlefield, he will show death who is in charge. I am a soldier in the army of God, marching, claiming victory. I will not give up. I will not turn around. I am a soldier in God's army, marching heaven bound. Here I stand. I shared that. God gave that to me. I needed to share that with you all. I want to thank you all for listening to me this morning. I was very nervous. But all I have to say is God is good.
Steve did an awesome job this morning. Thank you. Let's stand for a closing prayer. Let's reach across and grab our neighbor and pray for the person on your right and your left as we close in prayer this morning. Because we are in a battle, just as Steve shared, we are in a battle. And it's attacking each and every one of us, whether it's at home, whether at work, school. Pray for the person on your right and your left. Father God, we just come to you now and we thank you for this service this morning. We thank you for each and every soul that is in here, God, and we just ask you to empower each and every one, Father, to take the lesson, the sermon this morning, and Father, just take it to heart. And Father, I pray that everyone will go out of here encouraged, strengthened, and add some more tools to their belt to fight this Christian walk. Lord, we love you and we praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.